Chapter 9. Secrets. Carmen doesn't really know how completely she's being lied to. Only by omission, but nevertheless lies. She really has no idea how bad things are on Earth right now, and what a nightmare we've been through. We accept the necessity of total monitoring and censoring of all communication into space, since the others can receive anything broadcast from Earth. Assuming they're interested. Maybe it's silly. A sufficiently weak signal would be so attenuated in 24 light-years distance that no manner of super-science could separate it from cosmic background noise. But what is sufficiently weak? And how badly do you need the signal? If it were important to me as a spook, I could take any smallest signal, a man's heartbeat through a hotel window a mile away, and amplify and refine it, then pump it through a laser to another spook or an other spook 24 light-years away. So what could the others do? Maybe they read all our mail. Maybe all our thoughts. Whatever the reality, the controlling principle is that everything broadcast into space might be overheard by the others. So everyone who lives in orbit or on Mars will have a systematically distorted view of life on Earth. Carmen was aware of that in regard to defense. She never mentioned the fleet and didn't expect any reports about it, but when we first talked, I realized that her image of life on Earth was no more realistic than a cube drama. I caught her alone the second morning by the sneaky expedient of checking the exercise schedule. At 0400 she was in VR, biking, so I took up the rowing machine and watched her pedal through the streets of a Paris that no longer existed. We showered separately and met down at the mess for coffee. She brought up Paris, how she remembered it from the year she spent in Europe as a girl. "I guess the VR crystal's pretty old," she said. "They hadn't started rebuilding the Eiffel Tower, but it was finished when I was there in 66. "Still there," I said. "But it was damaged in the 81 riots. A piece of the base melted. They've left it that way, closed to the public."
"There were riots in 81?
"Not just in Paris, though hundreds died there, in the Champ du Mars."
"Hundreds?"
She sat absolutely still.
"In the States, too?"
"All over. The States were worse than most of Europe and the Middle East. Los Angeles and Chicago were especially bad."
"The East Coast?"
"New York and Washington were already under martial law when Paris exploded. There wasn't much loss of life."
"How long did it go on?"
"Well, technically..." Her eyes got wide.
"Still?"
I had an intense desire for a cigarette. I hadn't smoked since Gehenna. "In a way, it is still going on. Not martial law, but a kind of pervasive police state, which doesn't call itself that.
It's what they're calling internationalism?"
"Basically. One big, happy police state family." She walked across the room and looked out at the image of the Earth.
"Paul and I were talking about that the other day. The picture they project is too perfect. We've all known that. But a police state? All over the world?"
"Maybe I'm exaggerating. Many people do just see it as international solidarity against a common enemy. Everybody does have to sacrifice a certain amount of time, a certain amount of comfort, and freedom."
"For the future of humanity," she said in a broadcaster's voice. "Does everyone buy that?"
"Not at all. A significant fraction believes the business out at Triton and the explosion on the other side of the moon were just pyrotechnics to make us believe the bullshit about the others. The whole thing is an elaborate hoax to rob normal people of their rights and hand over their money to the rich. If you don't know anything about science or about economics, a case can be made. But even then, you have to enlist the Martians in the conspiracy or believe that they don't really exist."
"That's bizarre."
"Well, no one's allowed to go near one unless they're part of the conspiracy themselves. Hollywood's been cooking up convincing aliens for more than a century, they say. Whoever's behind the conspiracy could afford a few dozen of the finest. If you start with that as a premise, everything about Mars is a hoax, then most of it falls into place. The others? A perfect enemy. All-powerful, unreachable. You and Paul are part of the conspiracy, of course. The girl from Mars married to the man who saved the Earth? I wouldn't believe it myself if I didn't know it was true. But who's supposed to benefit from all that? The rich people? The white people? The Jews? Speaking as an unofficial Jew myself, I know we're capable of anything. The military-industrial complex, to use an antique term, this gives them a black hole to throw money into for the next 50 years. She slumped into the chair across from me and studied me. This is where I say, Namir, you have learned too much. Now you have to die. That actually gave me a little chill. The more convincing explanation, I think, is that the others are behind the whole thing. But they look just like humans and have infiltrated every aspect of government and industry. She smiled. It's like all the paranoiac explanations for Gehenna. Some people still believe it was a leftist takeover. I snorted, which explains how liberal our government is now, if you call it a government. Maybe the others took over Israel first as an experiment. She leaned forward, serious. So, to what extent do ordinary people know what's going on? People who don't stalk the corridors of power like you guys? Most people do, people who can read. Newspapers have become a big industry again, print ones. Nobody reads the e-sheets for actual news. People who aren't literate have to make do with word of mouth, or put up with the same version of reality the others are being fed. The others and us, she said, trying to control the anger in her voice. Most of the people I know are on Mars, but I'm in touch with people on Earth all the time who would risk the death penalty if they discussed reality. Everything's monitored. She was shaking her head hard. Look, even I assumed you were in on it. Self-censorship is so automatic, nobody's going to call or write and say they'll kill me for saying this, but... But it's so stupid, the others aren't going to be fooled. There's no way to know. It might just take one slip. Maybe. The angry set of her mouth softened. It never occurred to me to ask for a paper copy of a newspaper. I mean, whoever sees one. Everybody nowadays. Was some bureaucrat controlling the information they got, or was it an unintended consequence of draconian broadcast security? You should ask for a Sunday New York Times, or I will. Say that I'm homesick. See whether they print up a special version with the news sanitized for us. I could tell. I asked, and eventually the newspaper did appear. It takes a week for anything to come up. It did seem to be the same paper I read every week. Significantly, it had Jude Coulter's column, summarizing the past week's news that had been suppressed from the others and people in orbit or on Mars, incidentally. The first two ships of the fleet are nearing completion. Both are already crewed, awaiting weapons systems. They're somewhat bigger than the projected standard for the other 998, but cruder, rushed into construction in case the other that left Triton 5 years ago left behind some belated surprise. I think the fleet is a tactical travesty from inception to its present and future reality. Gnats attacking an elephant. If you want to protect the future of the human race from the other menace, those resources should go toward moving breeding populations out far from Earth. Because Earth is unlikely to survive the first second of hostilities from the others. A diffuse population, hidden around the solar system, might have a chance. Or not.